Mr. Smith Talks Triathlon, Episode 21, Preparing for the Ironman Swim. Mr. Smith Talks Triathlon, practical triathlon advice for everyday athletes. Not just the swordfish, but also the jellyfish.
Ain't none of those in the lake, Doug. Not in Lake Taupo. Don't have to worry about that.
We will talk about that very, very soon.
Yeah.
Happy New Year to you.
Indeed, yeah. Thank you for coming back.
2019. How did that happen?
Well, here we are, a new year, a new start. And so we should probably remind people who we are.
And what we do.
Yeah.
And why we do it.
Well, have to wonder that.
Yeah. Well, I'm Doug. I'm the, the oil. You're certainly the cogs, the wheels, and the main part of the engine as the coach.
Yeah, so for either new listeners or those who don't know, we've been doing this since 21 episodes now, sometime last year. And it's a way primarily to get information out to the team of people I'm coaching. But it's open there. It's there for anyone else in the world to listen to as well. Doug is someone who's been in the squad for a fair while. You're actually still not known to many because you've been doing some different things this year.
It's called golf.
But we'll wheel you out and introduce you to those who don't know you at some stage. But I'm sure we'll be seeing more of you this year.
Yep, definitely. And I'm one of those everyday athletes, and I think that's the important thing. The advice is for people who don't make money out of winning events and finishing on the podium, although we do have some podium finishes. But just people who enjoy it, and just some hints, tips, advice on how to fit it in around the rest of those lives that we have to lead.
Yeah, that's
or
it.
Need to lead, rather.
And I get either a bit technical or detailed at times, so Doug is here to pull things back, give me a slap around the head and just remind me it's about real people.
Yeah, so very, very good. On with the show. So episode 21, we're going to talk a little bit about the Ironman swim, but before that, we've had a bit of a break. Christmas has happened, New Year, so holidays and training, not always the perfect mix.
Yeah, look, there's been a variety of different things going on the team that people have got sick, sadly enough, in the middle of summer.
Often happens when you slow down a bit or the body switches off.
Totally.
Whether that be from work or if the training,
after big
you're on a quiet week.
Yeah.
Yeah, the body says, ugh.
Yeah, that's it. So that causes a bit of a disruption. There's been people away doing different things, obviously family holidays. Just training has been doing what the best they can when they can. And I think the last episode that we did last year was good for that it's taken away a bit of the stress or panic about doing perfect training through that period.
And great to see some different locations where people are training rather than, it's somewhere in Wellington or wherever the rest, people down in Dunedin, got some people in Auckland as well. But some of the lovely beaches and places in New Zealand have been utilised as the training ground.
So we've got a good database for next year's training camps.
Indeed. Yeah. Speaking of lovely places to train, coming up this weekend, up at the Mount, the Tauranga Half.
Yeah, so this one's kind of snuck up. It always does because so many people are on holiday after Christmas or training through it for this event, but suddenly it's here. So got a team fronting up there, itching to go. For some it's the first event, for some it's the second of the season. So look, I think it's always a magic event up there. It always gets hot. There is often a bit of wind, but it's great course, fast course, great fun. So go smash it, everyone. Have a really good time out there.
Yeah, and we're not going to go into detail as we did on some of the other events leading up to Christmas, but we've got a man on the ground up there.
Bit of inside knowledge.
Maybe otherwise distracted in the coming days, but his latest update was it's scorching hot.
Yeah.
The water's very warm. In fact, I think someone mentioned they went in no wetsuit. Yeah. You may see a few stingrays below you as you go, but as you say, it's obviously a seawater swim. The bike is fast and furious, pretty decent tarmac by all accounts, and round the mount. Yep, it's undulating and but it's hard packed dirt. I think there are some steps to be negotiated.
There is, however, the steps that got put in a few years ago, and for those who might not have done the event for a while, they're a bit of a shocker. So you know it's undulating, there's some rolling stuff around there that gets much harder the second time round, but there's a brutal set of stairs too. Yeah. Be ready for those.
So the only advice I would give, having not done it, is get yourself done pretty quickly, because it looks like it's going to be about 27 degrees by about 2 p.m. in the afternoon.
Yeah, get in, get home before that, and crack a cold one.
Fantastic. So we did a quick summary of the last episode. You know, we talked about making the most of the Christmas break, the holiday break, to spend time with family, to refresh. Yes, do your training. Don't feel guilty about training. Now, there's all that guilt factor when you miss a few sessions.
Yeah.
How do you deal with that?
I think for a lot of people, it's not until you've been through a couple of seasons and you reflect back on it and say, actually, you know what? It wasn't really that important first time round.
Yeah.
It's until you've had some experience and been through it, then it is a hard one to let go.
Yeah. I think if you lost half a season of training, then well, you don't want to panic, but yes, that's concerning. But you miss a couple of three sessions over a 2 week period, and what's the flip side? You're spending more time with family. Take the positive.
And you're fresher for some of the other training that you do. And it's always, so even still surprises me the number of times that someone is perhaps laid off by a bit of an injury or has disruptions to training or just takes a break at this time of year, and the natural inclination is, oh, we're getting pretty big training, we should be going at it. But a bit of refresh time now does wonders for the motivation and just for the body freshness to come back and hit that final training.
Yeah, and I think the one thing is to remember how good you feel when you come back.
Yeah.
Don't get down in the... Because you do. You get down in the dumps because you can't do this session and you're thinking, oh, what's going to happen? Oh, I'm losing all my fitness. Well, it won't disappear overnight. If you're doing something, that's better than nothing. But yeah, have a little think back that when you did get back into the training properly, how fresh you felt, because both mentally and physically.
Absolutely. That's it.
Okay, so on to not my specialist subject. for most of us everyday athletes, swimming is usually ranked a distant third in our favourite disciplines, but it happens. It happens first, so there's no escaping it.
Which is great, then it's out of the way, and that's the huge benefit of it.
And as a portion, as a percentage of any event, it's the least.
Yeah, that's right.
But it is the one that sort of gets people a little bit more nervous than any other.
Totally, yep. And so I think that what you got to do is just think about, first of all, where you're at right now, and spot, have you got any gaps between what you feel like now and doing the event? And most commonly for people, those are things like actually time in the open water. That there's a lot of people who live in Auckland and various other places who actually get into the open water is a bit difficult. You don't get there that often.
Yeah, and the way that we're talking about the Ironman swim specifically, but some of the things that Gerard is going to talk about are actually relevant to a half, and actually relevant in general with regards to your approach to swimming in the open water.
Definitely, yeah. And the swimming in the lake is very different to swimming in the sea, but still just it's all time in the open water. It's completely different to the pool, so take whichever one of it you can get.
Yeah.
So yeah, just number one is you need to be ready for that time in the open water. Get as much experience as you can, and particularly practicing your navigation so you can swim straight.
Yeah, so if there are, you know, if we were going to list a few things that are things to think about and then potentially work on, unless you've got them absolutely nailed, in which case you wouldn't be an everyday athlete, you'd be making a load of money out of it. You mentioned swimming in the open water, getting that experience.
Yeah.
No black line to follow.
That's it.
Potentially, you know, can't turn around or have a rest every 25 metres.
Yeah.
So that's time in the water, however you can do that. Navigation. Now, that's always been a...
Yeah. And simply, the straighter you swim, the faster you go. That's really what it comes down to. If you are someone who does find themselves weaving a lot, it's going to add quite a lot of distance and time to your swim. So when you are in there in the open water, and even in the pool, we're doing this a lot in swim squads right now, is open water sighting practice. Know how to do it, know to look for things, and just keep yourself going as straight as you can.
Yeah, and invariably the people who are worst at navigating tend to be the slower swimmers. And I put myself in amongst those, so... You know, an extra 10% because you're going skew whiff.
Yeah,
on an hour and 15 minute swim, is quite a big chunk.
Totally.
So navigation absolutely vital.
Yep. And so when you are swimming in the open water, purposefully work at that. Don't just swim blindly and then every now and again have a look and realise that you've gone backwards. That very, very frequently. Do your sighting. Keep correcting yourself all the time.
And something that I, and you may, I don't think you've mentioned this before, but from an open water perspective, you know, picking something big in the distance is great. But I know certainly in Wellington down at Oriental Parade, something big in the distance up on the hill, and then something below it.
Yes.
So that you've actually got a straight line. Because if you're only looking at one thing, if you go 5 metres left or 5 metres right, and you look up, that thing is likely still to be in front of you, off in the distance, and you may think you're going straight.
Yeah.
So, yeah, something at just above road level, and then something up on the hill, and use that as a line, and it gives you an idea of whether you're veering one way or the other.
Yeah, great tip. Love it.
Variable conditions as well, veering left and right, might not be down to your swim stroke or your sighting.
Yeah, look, once it gets choppy out there, I know that's, most people hate that in the open water. It really messes things up. It sends you off. It fills your mouth with water. And look, Taupo is known as having a relatively flat, in fact, most of the time, flat, calm, beautiful lake swim. But as we found out a couple of years ago, it was a pretty windy day. It really chopped up. You have to be ready for anything. So you have to get that experience. You don't have to love it. You don't have to be the fastest in the world at it, but you just have to be ready to deal with it.
Yeah, and I think it's, again, it's getting out and getting some experience in the open water. Unless it's dangerous, at least give it a go, because, you know, it can be really choppy and you only need to go 20 metres offshore and experience it, and you're relatively safe. But, yeah, and, again, the being able to breathe out both sides is a godsend if the waves or the wind is blowing the water in a particular direction. Yeah. So,
and one of the best ways to do it is at small local events. That here in Wellington, we've got the Splash and Dash. I know Auckland has the Stroke and Stride. There is the Ocean Swim Series going on. There's events all over the place because it's an event, so you're just going to go pretty much no matter what the conditions. There's generally lifeguard support out there. And you're also in amongst lots of people, which is the next point. That there's going to be a lot of people on that start line.
Yeah, the old mass start. Not something you can practice unless you've got about 1,400 friends who fancy going for a swim on the same day at the same time. But, we've talked about it a bit, about where you should be, where you should position yourself. A little bit more on that?
Yeah, so the very first thing is just getting used to swimming in amongst people. Because even if you are someone who holds back at the start of a swim, you're going to be passing people. There's going to be others swimming crooked. You're going to be surrounded by people in different ways at different times. But then, your positioning is a big part of that. Because if you are one of the better swimmers, you're going to be near the front, ready to really go for it with those fast swimmers.
Yeah, and I think people know, they will. I know we talked about targets not being time specific, but from a seeding yourself in the normal distribution curve of Ironman swimmers, it's a good idea to have an idea of what you think you'll do.
Yep.
And then, just look at the crowd. And if you think you're about in the middle, then time-wise, then position yourself about in the middle. The less confident swimmers do tend to, oddly, be nearer the shore, which actually results in swimming further. But again, that's a confidence thing rather than an ability thing.
And one thing to think about, though, is that if you are not really that comfortable with swimming with lots of other people, don't put yourself smack bang in the middle, because you're going to have 360 degrees of people around you. So figure out, get out to one of the sides, get perhaps more near the front. Really, don't put yourself too far back, because if you start a long way back, wait for everyone else to get moving, then get moving yourself, there's a few minutes gone by the time you even cross the start line.
Yeah, it's one of those things that if you've experience is really the only way to figure it out.
Yeah.
But there are about four or five things to think about, and use those to position yourself.
Yeah, great.
And then you head off, and Ironman is a big old rectangle, skinny rectangle.
Yeah.
Because I think you swim about 800 metres in almost a kilometre, not quite, in a straight line. Well, even ideally more. In a straight line.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of the half course.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's a long drag out and back. That's what it comes down to. And so, that, like you said, there's no walls every 25 metres to turn or have a rest at. So just that experience of swimming continuously is the next thing to be ready for.
Yeah, and work on that sighting. Yep, there's orange buoys along the way. In my world, I wish they were more.
Yeah.
Because they aren't actually that easy to see when your eyes are only about 3 inches above the water or a little bit
the
further.
Sun's coming out.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's a very long, straight on that first leg. The big crowd will spread out, and everyone will find their natural position within reason. But yeah,
and the cool thing is in that lake is that it's such clear water that it's beautiful. However, there is kind of a downside in that you can see everything that's in there, and there's no stingrays, there's no sharks, brilliant, no jellyfish, but you will swim along and see a pipe. You actually swim across a pipe. And I know that certainly freaks some people out the first time.
Golf balls.
Yeah, golf balls galore.
Yeah. Now, it's the worst thing you're going to see is maybe a decent-sized trout, and that's highly unlikely. Yeah. So for people who have a concern about creatures of the deep, there's just nothing. There's no jellyfish, there's no orca, there's no sharks, there's no stingrays. So, really enjoy it.
But what you do need to realise is that on the way out, then you're seeing the bottom. You turn, you're on your way back, suddenly you're out that little bit further into the lake, you can't see the bottom on that return bit. So again, being ready for both of those.
Yeah. And if you've practiced in the sea, you know, you won't have seen too much below you anyway, depending where you're swimming. Really good point. You can see everything on the way out, not so much on the way back. And pre-race nerves, there's always going to be the things we've just discussed actually can create and cause nerves. So, but if you think about the things we've mentioned, get them clear in your head as to how you're going to address each of those, then hopefully that keeps the nerves, because you're not going in thinking, oh, where should I position myself? 2 weeks out, you already decided, I'm going to position myself 1/3 of the way back or 5 meters behind the start line. So take away the variables.
The unknowns.
The variables that you can be decisive on. Please be.
Yeah, that's it. And so it's not going to take away all the nerves, because it's Ironman, it's a big day, there's more to it than just the swim, but it will help you manage them to start with. And then the final thing really is contingencies, that it could be windy, it could be bright sun, it could be a number of things. There's people in the water, you might get bumped, you might get knocked, so many things that could go on. Just being ready for those. And again, the best way to be ready for those is to have some experience in the open water with other people around you.
Yeah. And the contingencies, you can't, you know, be prepared for anything and everything. Yeah, you're not going to strap a couple of spare pair of goggles, you know, down the front of your wetsuit or that type of thing. But just be conscious that someone may give you a smack in the leg or the foot or the head even.
Yeah.
Come into you sideways. You know, I was towards the back end of the middle third, and at one point I had someone come into my left side and my right side at the same time, and I thought I was swimming straight.
Yeah.
So they were both very skew whiff. But just be aware, it's not going to be a nice swim with nobody around you. People will be coming and going.
That's a good point, actually. No one around you. Often on the way back, things are starting to get really stretched out by then. So I do know people have a moment and go, I'm the last one out here, there's no one around me. In reality, that's not the case. You just can't see anyone in your immediate vicinity.
Yeah. And those contingencies are a funny one, because I had some spare contact lenses in my transition, because I had in my head, I'd already convinced myself that I was going to get my goggles knocked, and my lens was going to, or I'd lose my goggles and then have to swim just using no goggles, and then one of my contact lenses would come out.
Rail.
Yeah, I'm not quite that blind, but others would disagree. But yeah, it was something that made me feel mentally better, because I knew I had something in place if that happened.
Yeah.
Yep. So yeah,
totally.
So plenty to think about. Not too much.
No. And look, the big thing is all of this information we give out lots, and it's not meant to overwhelm you. It's meant to be so you can pick the things that are important to you and do something about them.
And the thing is, as you do more and more events, there's less you think about.
Yeah.
Because stuff you just do it naturally.
That's it.
And it's part of the process.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you've got a bunch of people doing this, Gerard, a decent crowd up there in March. Now some will just be to complete the course.
Yeah.
Some a little more competitive.
Yeah.
A couple of points about the sort of the people looking to perform at different levels.
So yeah, I divide up the squad training plans that I pre-write and people use into three levels: to those who simply want to complete just enough to get through, those who want to challenge themselves for a bit better result than that, generally looking around the middle of the pack, middle of the results, and those who are really out there looking to perform.
Yeah.
So if we look at it from those different angles, someone who simply wants to complete, it's not that hard. You just have to be comfortable swimming with others around you in the open water in a wetsuit.
Yeah.
There is a heap of time, 2 hours 20 to get through the Ironman swim. And I've spoken to, there's always a big Japanese contingent come over. They never get to swim in the open water beforehand. And I've spoken to a guy there who breaststroked his way around because he didn't even like swimming.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so there is plenty of time to get through all of that.
Yeah. And again, it's one of those things where, as you say, comfortable in the open water. Yeah, I know Gerard said don't wait too long before you start, but if it's really just about completing,
yeah,
and not having anyone bumping into you or worrying about anything else, any other people, then yeah, maybe just wait a couple of minutes and then off you go.
Yep. So you're not likely to be
catching up with people because you've seated yourself so.
Yeah.
And you know your ability. But yeah, just be comfortable and enjoy.
Being relaxed and in control from the start, can just let it flow from there.
Yeah.
All right, so then the challenge, the middle of the pack in terms of swimming tends to be around an hour 10 to an hour 15 on a flat typical day. So yeah, for people who are hoping to be around that kind of level, then you need to be consistent over the swim. You're not going to be trying to be going too fast. That, okay, there might be a little bit of a burst at the start just to get the arms moving, get yourself going, but you're not trying to hammer the swim, you're just trying to be consistent.
Yeah. And I think the sighting thing comes into it. I was going to mention, you know, I was kind of tail end, just beyond the tail end of that level. I was about an hour 19. The people who are doing the just to complete, you know, I know you work on sighting in squad, but hey, if you feel like doing a couple of breaststrokes, getting your head a bit further out of the water and just making sure you're going in the straightest possible line, it's not going to make any difference come the end.
Absolutely.
Better to make sure to stop for 3 or 4 seconds and make sure you're swimming straight than not swim straight for half a minute.
Yeah.
But when it comes to the challenge, that's when you do want to be swimming all the way.
Yeah.
Using your sighting skills getting that rhythm.
Because, yeah, like you said, that quote at that time, 10% of an hour 10, an hour 15, if you go off that far, of course, that's a big difference.
Yeah.
The other thing, too, is that you want to be really clear about holding your form, holding your technique as you get tired, because it is going to be a long swim for you. Ideally, you probably will have done the distance a few times in training, but, yeah, it's still, technique comes apart as you get tired, so being aware of that, staying focused on it, making it happen.
Yeah. And move, you know, as is the way, that middle, that challenge level, you know, an hour 5 to an hour 15, it's the middle of the normal distribution curve.
Yeah.
It's going to be the most people. So you're probably going to be around people
for
the whole race.
Yeah.
Or the whole swim.
Yeah, yeah. That's right. And so you might get a few of those bumps and knocks that we talked about. As you come to the finish line, suddenly everyone comes into shore together. Could feel like a lot of people finishing. And particularly transition, the change tents. At that stage, it's the busiest time of the day. So, again, expect a bit of madness, a lot of people in there.
Yep. Hmm. And at your level, the perform level, Gerard?
So, the perform, well, on a good day.
Yeah.
So, the people who are aiming to swim under an hour. And so, the big thing you want here is more experience with close contact swim starts. So, being prepared to get in there amongst it, so you can get with a draft or a pack who are faster swimmers and hang on with them. And you have to be ready to be a bit more aggressive in that situation.
Yeah, and if you're at that perform level, you may know some other participants who you know are perhaps a little bit faster than you in the swim, who might be the ideal person to get on the feet of.
Yeah.
So try and, not easy to spot when everyone's wearing a cap and a wetsuit, but if you do, pick him out and try and get on his or her feet.
Start directly behind that person and, yeah, hang in there. And certainly that being prepared to start faster and hang on.
Yep, because there will be not so much in the other two categories other bits that we've discussed, but in this instance there will be some people who will do that sort of semi-sprint to get away and find their position.
Yeah.
So
you might have to be prepared to hold on for several hundred metres at quite a hard effort to start with. Things tend to settle after that.
Yeah, I'm still talking, but I'm way out of my depth at this sub 1 hour conversation.
And then really at the really pointy end of the perform level, then you also need to be ready to change gears during your swim. Because if you are swimming behind someone drafting or with a group, and that person falls off the pace and they start drifting off the back, you've got to be ready to plant your foot a bit, go around them and catch back up to that group.
Yeah, so it's not just about sighting going straight, it's about sighting what's happening in potentially in the group or the two or three people that you've jumped on the back of. Because as Gerard says, they may slow. You might think, oh, geez, I'm feeling really good because I'm still hanging on to their feet, whereas the other three swimmers are disappearing into the distance.
Yeah. And you could be with them.
Yep. And of course, different conditions. That applies whether you're good, bad, or in between.
Yeah, and what you see is that the better swimmers, they're affected less by any adverse conditions.
Yeah.
So again, making sure you've got that experience prepared for it.
Yeah.
And that at this level, the Ironman swim should not feel daunting or long or hard at all. It's something that you should feel like you could go and knock out any day of the week and do it well.
Yeah. Okay. We will all strive to have that mindset and ability at some point. Yeah.
So that's the three kind of different levels that I picture and pitch things to for people.
Yeah, so that some of the first stuff we discussed is relevant whether you're, you know, level 1, 2, or 3.
Yeah.
But then we've looked at some of the things that are a little more specific
at each of those levels.
Yeah, at each of those levels. So that because they do differ, whether they both, well, yes, physically, but also some of the mental aspects are a little bit different depending on what you're looking to achieve. A quick summary. The first summary of the summer.
So look, as we've talked about already, that have a listen through, pick out what are the key things for you, that are there gaps, are there issues that you've got at the moment? Okay, go and do something about those between now and Ironman so that you are ready, so that you take away some of those nerves or anxiety beforehand.
And some of them you can fix in 5 minutes.
Yes.
But thinking how long you're going to take, so where you should seed yourself in the crowd, done. Tick in the box. Others are a little more involved, whether that be sighting or experience in the water.
Yeah.
But yeah, try and, as Gerard says, put a line through the things that are concerning you.
Yeah, and so do take action about them. It's all very well. We can sit here and talk this and you can listen, but if you're not going to do anything about it, then it's all been pointless, really.
Yeah. If you turn up on race day and have got a bunch of things that you need to think about, then you probably aren't as prepared as you could have been.
Yeah.
And as we said, there are some variables that you can...
Control.
So they are no longer variables.
Yeah.
You've actually figured out, I'm going to do this and this. Bang. Don't have to think about it on race day.
And don't try and do it all. Just pick out the important ones for you.
Fantastic. Well, it's a beautiful day out there. Off for a swim?
Might be almost beer o'clock. I don't know. Yeah.
Okay. Detox. No, well...
We're going to be covering the bike, the run, and other related Ironman things in the coming weeks. And we're going to be talking about it in the same kind of way. Things that everyone needs to know, and the different levels, whether you're completing, challenging yourself, or really out there to perform.
Yep. So to those doing Tauranga this weekend, all the very best of luck.
Yes, and go for those well,
that
everyone.
Are into those big miles that are the Ironman training of January and into February, you know, go well and stay safe.
And enjoy that weather out there while it's good.
Cheers.